Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning, good morning. I tell you, sometimes I just don't want to turn that music off. It just hit a beat and you just go with it. Good morning to mothers and daughters and listeners around the world. I'm your host, of course, is Dr. Bessie here at Roundtable with Mothers and Daughters Around the World. Before we get started, I just want to give honor and thanks to God. Father God, we thank you for another opportunity to get up and to serve you today. Father God, I ask that you bless each mother and daughter and their families. Father, we know that the mother is a core instrument in the family, and everything kind of works around the mother. So I pray for her mind and her heart that it will be according to your will that she, and including myself, will raise our children that you've given us according to your will. I ask that you bless the entire world because we are all going through different situations and everybody's really trying to figure it out, trying to figure out what it is that you want us to do. Give us wisdom and understanding most of all, above all things. And I thank you and appreciate you. And in Jesus' name, some conversations this weekend. We were talking about sometimes we just don't think about how much we have. We have so much until it really blinds us and we can't see it because he said everything that you need, he's already given it to you. So you, sometimes if you think about that, you say, if I have it, where is it? Why can't I put my hands on it? And we're so busy scrambling around trying to see it, trying to ask God for it. And it's really a conversation, you know. And I said, you know, just when you get up and you're feeling good, you're looking good, the enemy jumps right in there with a conversation in your head. That's talking to you before you can really get your thoughts together. He just jumps right on you with the conversation and just try to take over the day. But what we have to do is just always go back into our memory bank and remember how good yesterday was. And we made it through, regardless of what into your mind, regardless of what conversations the enemy tried to place into your intro conversation. If you look back at yesterday, all is well. You made it through. Some things you didn't think you was going to make it through today. You said, I just don't know how this is going to happen. But yet, you're on this radio program right now listening because you made it through. Isn't God wonderful? I mean, in spite of all that we do, he understands that, excuse me, we are children. And children are always learning. So thank God he knows that he's not going to hold it against us. I said, oh, they're good. He's just looking at us. They're good. So when we're talking about mothers and daughters, you know, there is no perfect mother and there's no perfect daughter, perfect people, period. But I have so many mothers saying, you know, I don't know what happened. I don't know how I lost it. I don't know where I went wrong. What did I do with this child? You know,
really it's not so much about her as it is about you. You get yourself together and everything else kind of fall in place because you're the mother. And as the mother, you know, you have power and authority. And we have to take that power and authority, and that's what we fight the enemy with. And what are we fighting? We are fighting that battle that's in our mind, because it's all about that intro conversation. It's nothing but the intro conversation. That's the key to life. And when you get into that intro conversation and learn to manage that intro conversation, you will receive the things that God has placed in position for you. Because that intro conversation, if it's not clear and if it's not producing the right words, it will give off a false image that things are not as they seem. So think about that. Why did I get off on that this morning? I don't know. God just said it. So, you know, that must have been for somebody. 9 times out of 10, it probably is for me. Because I tell you, I'm the student, and I share the lesson. All right, with that being said, you know, if you have a friend, mother and daughter, or a woman that is, of course, we know is a daughter, that is really in need of just having a conversation, or you think they should listen to us as we talk today, have them to call in at 347-539-5078. That's 347-539-5078. They can listen to the conversation, click one, and, of course, join in on the conversation. You know, it's just amazing to me, the Internet. You know, I say that quite often. I remember one time when my grandson said to me, about email. He said, "Nana, how is it that you can write something and click it and the email get to the person like within the next few seconds? How does that work?" And I looked at him and said, "Baby, I don't have a clue. I don't know it. But I know if I send somebody an email, I can be on the phone with the person." And I said, "Did you get it?" And I said, "Hold on, here it is." I mean, just like within a minute, a few seconds. Technology. Technology. So the most amazing piece to me is when I'm, you know, talking, and I said, I'm talking to mothers and daughters around the world. The lady said, "You know, that is so powerful. When you say that, it's just so powerful. But that, I believe that in my spirit. I believe that with my whole being, that there are mothers and daughters on this network, and of course you don't have to say anything, but there are mothers and daughters on this network that you don't really realize. So as I've said quite often, if you could just get in tune with what God is saying to you, God is saying, listen to what she just said, and he'll give you a piece, and your piece to add to the piece that I just said, or your piece to add to the piece Cynthia just said, you know, and what it does, it really clears up a foggy thought that a mother or daughter may have and say, wow, I see that now. That makes sense to me. So whatever you say or feel in your heart and you say it, it is really helping someone else. You'll be blessed, but you'll help someone else. I like Evangelist Davis got on one day, and she said, you know, I've been listening and listening and listening, and now I'm getting it. Now my daughter and I, you know, are in a different place than we were 5 years ago when they started with this program. So we'll talk about some of that today, too, as well. And the many mothers and daughters that come on and they talk about their mothers and the issues, you know, every woman is a daughter. You feed back, you get it. But until you straighten out this relationship with your mother or your daughter, things in your life are not going to be balanced, because that's a key relationship. And, of course, you mothers who have sons, just take this information and apply it, because they are children. But we have to know that as a mother, that's a blessing. God is saying, I trust you with this child.
You've got to do all that you can do to check with God to find out what is it that you want me to do with this child. You can't just assume that you're so smart, you're smarter than God, that you don't have to go to the Creator who created you and the child. So if you don't get anything today, just know that whatever's going on in your life, in your child's life, always check with the Father on a daily basis. You can't assume what you did yesterday is okay for today. On a daily basis, you got to check, what is it that you would have me do today? And I don't care if they're grown, if they're 30, they're 40 years old. They can be 50 years old. You're still in this relationship. You're still on this journey. You're still traveling back. And mother, you still are ahead of your daughter. She will never catch up with you. Like I tell people, there's 21 years between my daughter and myself. And there'll always be 21 years between them. So she's never going to catch up in those 21 years. Never. So I'm always going to have 21 years of wisdom and understanding and experiences, good or bad, ahead of her. And our job is to always turn around and look at our daughters and help them and make sure that they are on the right track. Because as is the mother, so is the daughter. So she's tracking. She's tracking you. She's right behind you. She's looking at you. She's watching everything that you do, everything that you say. And then now you got a granddaughter. She's behind your daughter, and she's tracking your daughter. And she's looking at everything that her mother is doing. And it's going to do the same thing when she has her child. Then there's another track. So you're still ahead of the pack. You're still the front runner mother. And every once in a while, that granddaughter is going to stick her head out around her mother, and she's going to look up there to see what her grandmother's doing. So eyes are on you. You're the front runner. And you got to make sure, even when you fall, that they don't see how bad the fall was. You get up and you keep moving. Because if you fall and get up, your daughter falls, she'll get up. And your granddaughter falls, and she will get up. So that takes us into our topic. We're going to continue from the conversation from last week, a mother's vision for her daughter, a mother's vision for her granddaughter, a mother's vision for her great-granddaughter, a mother's vision for her great-great-granddaughter. Four generations. They all are going to take their head, if you live long enough, and they're going to stick their head out around the mother and look to the front runner, which is, at this point, you, mother. So think about that. A mother's vision for her daughter, part two. We're going to continue that. So I'd like to thank all of the mothers and daughters that are on today. Thank you for taking out time of your busy schedule on a Saturday morning and being a part of the conversation. I see you. I know you're there. I can feel your spirit. I want to thank my co-host, Cynthia Oliver, for being on. Appreciate that. And thank all of my ladies that join in with me as co-hosts at some point in time. You know, we like it when you call and say, I'd like to be a co-host for the week. You know, we'd be glad to add you right on. Hear what you have to say. And you don't have to be a co-host to say anything. Just be a co-host anyway. We all in this together. We all doing it together. No, there's no superstars in this mother and daughter show. Not even me. I'm not the star. The only star is Jesus Christ. So anybody, you know, under Jesus, we all on the same page. So our platform is on As is the mother, so is the daughter. That's what we base it on. That's Ezekiel 16:44. I encourage you mothers to write that down, look at it, think about it. Just think about it. When you get to that point where you don't know what to do with your daughter, you have a vision in your head. You know what you want your daughter to do. You think you do anyway. But if you think about it, how would you know that? How would you know that? Because you didn't create the person. You were a pass-through. God created the daughter. Now, how would you know what his intentions are for your daughter till you have a conversation with God on a daily basis? But yet, we as mothers take what we didn't do, and then we try to apply it as if we're working through our daughters, we can make up shortcomings that we each person is an individual, a unique individual. God don't make carbon copies. Pin on or say, well, why can't you be more like your sister? I never had that problem with your sister. If I said something, she did it. She never questioned me. You know, so why do the comparison? She's never going to be like her sister. She's not a sister. She's herself. She has her own style, her own temperament, her own rhythm. That's what makes her unique. And mothers, what we need to do is look at the child, consult the creator, and fit in to that rhythm of the child and not try to bring her rhythm up to the tone of your rhythm, because keep in mind, you're the front runner. She's not going to be as strong in some instruments that you will be strong in. The thing that amazes me, and I know some of you can relate to this, when a mother would say, but she knows better. And she's only 6 years old. She knows better. Does she really? How would she know? Most times, you assume she should know, but did you really stop and break it down on her level so that she could understand what it is that you expect for her to do? I've seen so many mothers say, you know, I'm not putting up with this foolishness because you know better. You know better. And the kid's looking at you like, no, I don't. I don't know better. You know, I remembered a situation where this grandmother came to me and she said, you know, I just don't know why. And this is a grandson. I'm going to use this example because it came to my mind. She said, I don't know why that boy won't clean his room. 19, he's in college. And the room looks like a tornado has come through it. She said, I just don't understand it. And he's living in one of the condos. She owned two condos. When the kids come, they stay in there. He was the only one in there. And she's like, you know, I just don't understand it. And I said to her, I said, did anyone ever stop to show him how to hang up his clothes and how to make his bed and how to put things in order? And she looked at me. And she was just like, I don't know. I said, keep in mind, he's always had servants. Dad's a doctor, you know. Everything has been done for him. They make up his bed. They prepare his food. They clean his room. Why is it that all of a sudden he's in college now and everybody assumed that he's supposed to know when no one ever really sat down and showed him how to do it? And she said to me, she said, Dr. Fletcher, you know what? You're right on that. And she went back and she took everything out of the closet and she laid everything out and she showed him. Now, you take this, you put this in there, color coordinate, length, the whole nine yards, and show them how to put things together, and then this is the way you make up your bed, and this is the way your room looks. And that kid took it and ran with it. No one never showed him. So sometimes we get caught up with what we think the child should know. But if you go back to Ezekiel 16:44, you'll realize, as is the mother, so is the daughter. It's not always looking at something you've done. It could be something that you didn't do. Everybody want to look at, oh, if I do this, yeah, that's true. Somewhere you're planting seeds in her mind that will manifest at some point in time. If she doesn't do some serious work to kill that seed. And a lot of daughters do that. That's where that term come in. No, I'm not going to be like my mother. I can say, you know, as is the mother. I've had a lady told me just a couple weeks ago, no, you can forget that. You can forget that. I am not like my mother, and I will not be like my mother. And it wasn't like her mother was a bad person. I mean, she didn't say anything really, really bad. She just didn't like certain ways, the way she handled a certain situation. So I said, okay. So we started talking, got into the conversation a little deeper, and she said, well, you know, you're right. I said, have you ever just been in a position where you were eating or talking or having a conversation or talking to your kids, and then a thought come up in your mind, and you say, wow, that sounds like my mother. Okay, that's a prime example. And then she started thinking, and oh, she started talking. Yeah, because I remember she did this, that, and the other. I found myself doing this, that, and the other. Not necessarily it's a bad thing. It's just God is not a liar. And he says, as is the mother, so is the daughter. So there it is. That's it. There's nothing you can do to change that except be the best mother that you can be, and hopefully your daughter will be the best daughter she can be, and y'all pray and ask God, you know, are we doing it good? Are we doing it right? Are we in the right direction? Show us, lead us, guide us, give us some wisdom on this. Life is a course. It's just like any course that you take. You go into college, you take a course, and you're so busy trying to impress the professor. You want the professor to understand that I'm smart. I've done my research. My assignment is on time. But if you look at your life as a course, a life course, and you do the study, you do the homework, you do the work, turn in your papers. You said, who do I turn my papers into, Dr. Bessie? I mean, who do I turn them into? And that you can just put aside because it catches up with you. Your homework get behind. And all of a sudden you make an F. And then you realize, I could have done better. I could have done better if I just stopped and asked for help. God said, no man asked for wisdom and not get it. So there's no excuse saying that I don't know. I don't know why the vision that I have for this girl is not working, because she haven't consulted vision maker. What vision do you have, and how do I fit into this role? Because, you know, we have the main topic that we are, a course that we're taking, but then all of a sudden you have some electives, and then you have some things on the side that you just want to take because I like that topic. I just want to get a little bit more information on that, because you're building your wisdom, you're broadening your mind. Well, same thing with your daughter. You've got to study this child. You got to really look at her, and you got to really say, okay, I notice when this happens, she does this. I notice if I say something, I can see where her whole spirit just kind of go down. People call it self-esteem. I can see her face change if I raise my voice, and then she shut down. Are you going to just leave it like that? Are you going to go in, do the research, find out, baby, did I hurt your feelings, and apologize, and bring her back up? You got to do some work. It's just not going to happen without any extra work. You go to the professor, you say, look, I'm sorry, I made an F on this paper. My God, I don't know what was happening. I thought I had it together. Is there anything else I can do? If you don't ask, then you don't get it. So you say, is there anything else I can do? And the professor might say, well, you know, you've done so well in so many other things that I can give you some extra work because I believe that you really tried. I can tell you participated in the class. You talked to us. You know, you let me know. I believe. I don't know what happened. You don't know what happened. I'm going to give you a second chance. And she gives you a makeup exam, and you make an A on there. And she says, you know, because you made an A and that F, I'm going to drop the F, and I'm going to give you at least a B plus. What? You brought it back up. Same thing with your mother and daughter relationship. It's a course. You have to constantly work on it. You can't afford to let an F lay a lie unattended. You can't afford that. Because somewhere along the line, it's going to bring that C down or that D down. It's just not lying there just for a show. A couple weeks ago, we talked about the timeline of a mother and daughter relationship. And the timeline got so much response from the show. In fact, a young lady emailed me, and she said, Dr. Fletcher, I've been following you for quite a while, and I'd like to have you on my show. She said, and she wants me to talk about the timeline. So you never know who's out there. That's when I was talking in the beginning about the Internet. Don't know who's out there. I don't know. So that's why I don't look at the switchboard until the very end, because I don't really want it to affect the delivery and the things that God placed in my heart. I don't want to be the person that thinking that, okay, how many we got on there? How many numbers? I don't want that. I just want to be, if it's just one person out there, I'm good. I always have three, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you know, Holy Spirit. Just you're never alone. We're with you. So, you know, it's four of us. One person, that's five. Somebody's listening. People go in and listen to the show after at night by the hundreds. It's amazing. It's amazing. So with that, I'm going to be on Mom Talk on Tuesday, and she's going to interview me and then talk about doing a story with one of the magazines that she's the editor of. As we've said in the past, we're going to keep going. We're going to keep moving because people are being blessed, and I thank God for that. And I just didn't want to pass by because I know Tuesday she's going to interview me, and what an honor to be asked to participate in somebody else's conversation. So that's the timeline. If you haven't heard the timeline, you can go to our website, mdbn.org. That's mdbn.org, O-R-G, and go to media, and you'll see the radio program, and you can go back. It says, what is the timeline in your mother and daughter relationship? Check that out. So thank you, Denise, for asking me to participate with you. I truly appreciate that. All right. Now, last week we really got into the vision of the mother and daughter and how that vision worked. You know, a lot of times we really want to relive the past. And if we can't go back, then we try to throw the seed back onto our daughter's mind, make it their vision and what they want to do. And little kids don't know any better. And they just say, well, you know, if you say it long enough to them and when they're small, they start believing it. Oh, yeah, that's what I want to do. Yeah. And you ever seen a mother say, tell them what you're going to be when you grow up. And the little kid say, a doctor. And then you say, oh, and she's two. And you say, oh, okay. Then you say to yourself, okay, well, how did that happen? You know, did you tell her? Are you coaching her in that manner? And sometimes when we do that, we cause our kids to get off course, and they can never get settled in their mind because they're really not on their life path. They're on a journey that was created for them. So therefore, there's no ease in their spirit. There's a lot of disease in their spirit because they're out of order. So we have to be very, very careful, mothers, how we project our images into our children. Make sure that you do the work. Make sure that you take the exam. Examine you. Examine you wanted to accomplish when you were coming up. Write down all of the goals, the things that you said, I want to do this and I want to do that. You know, when you were a little girl and you're playing with your dog, what was the character that you played the most? Were you a lawyer? Were you a doctor? Were you a homemaker? Were you a teacher? What was the role that you played? Write all that down. And then look at what is it that you have in your heart that you think your daughter should be? Write that down. Write all the things that you wanted your daughter, because you know, I know she's good. She could do this. She could do that. And then look at the list and compare the list and see how many things are correlating with your dream and your vision. And that should give you a visual to look at and might even tap into some understanding as to why you and your daughter really don't communicate well, because she's still like she's being squeezed and molded to be something that she really don't want to be. But out of respect for you, she's trying to do it. She's trying to do it. I know with Angie, my daughter, you know, I'm telling her, okay, what is it that you want to do? And I noticed that she was a writer. And I said, you need to write more because you're a writer. And I don't think at the time she realized it. And we as parents, we get these things. You see the child and you see what's doing and the creativity that come out. So, yeah, you want to kind of enforce that. But I said, she's a writer. But then a teacher came along. She was writing. She was on the school, I can't think of it right now, where you write for the school paper, newspaper. She was editor on the school newspaper. So she's writing and doing stories and interviewing people and to work in television. She wanted to be a reporter. I think that's what it was. And so in the meantime, she's, you know, doing what she's doing. And then all of a sudden, she wrote something one day, and the teacher marked her paper up, and if I'm not mistaken, I think it was in red, and told her that she could not write. She was a poor writer. Well, one here that know me, the old me, not the one I am now. Well, I didn't take that very well because I felt the teacher didn't have a right to tell her she couldn't write. You know, you can't destroy the vision of a child. And to this day, that's all she does is writing. Because I tell you, just keep writing, just keep writing, just keep writing. But her confidence, I think, was a little less because she never forgotten what that teacher told her, that she could not write. But when she published her book, I think at that moment she realized, I really am a writer. And she brought it up. She brought up what the teacher said to her all those years ago. So that's, I'm saying all that to say this. We have to be very careful what we say and what we do with our children, because they may not say anything to you, but in their minds, in their hearts, they're still carrying it. When they see you, it comes up. And I'm sure if Angie was to see the teacher today, she would say, what you said to me almost destroyed my vision that God had placed in my heart to write. And God gave her a vision to write for middle school boys, Afro-American boys, because the reading level is so low. And he wanted her to write books that would be exciting, a book that they could look at and see themselves. And it's not about drugs and killing and what have you. And the book is They Call Me Ham. You can go to theycallmeham.com and really see the website. But all of that being said, it's because what? She would have missed what God had told her because she would have fought God by saying, no, but I'm not a writer, God, you know. No, I can't do it. And she would have had no faith in that area. So I'm saying all of that to say this. Watch what you say, because your words create your thoughts, and your thoughts create your visions, and your visions will manifest into reality. Well, the same is for your daughter, because your words are so powerful, mother, that I tell people, when mother says it, it's almost like Jesus said it to a child, because, see, you are the Jesus to them. They don't know any better. You are the front runner. You are the one that if mothers say it, that they believe it. They have to. Because they don't know anybody else. And they start out as little kids. You say, come to mommy. And she's just one trying to walk. Come to mommy. Mommy has you. She believes that. And it starts from there until you do something. And she doesn't trust you anymore. And when she get that first feeling of distrust, everything else builds from there. And sometimes you never, ever get back to what happened, place where everybody was innocent and love was in place, because the daughter in her heart, she has it reserved because you hurt her and she's not going to tell you. She's just going to keep her distance in certain areas because you don't know you did it, but she does. And I'm going to close with this. There was a young lady, this was the story told to me, the young lady that actually called her mother and confided in her mother some things that was going on in her life. And she poured her heart out to her mother. And when they ended the conversation, the mother immediately dialed the phone and called someone else. And the daughter was still on the phone. And she talked about the daughter in a negative way and told everything that the daughter told her, and the daughter was listening. Can you imagine that? When a daughter comes to her mother and she's thinking, I'm going to a safe place. I'm going to my mother. If you can't go to your mother and tell her something, my God, who can you go to? You should be able to tell your mother. That's your mother, someone who carried you. But, mother, we have to be in a position that they trust us. They trust us with their information. Now, can you imagine? This young lady is hurt. It would take years, because she's not a child. It would take years for them to mend this, because she's always going to be looking like, I can't tell you anything else. Because I can't trust you. Even if the mother said, I'm sorry, baby, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do it, somewhere in the back of her mind, she's always going to reserve what she said. Because if you're on the phone and your mother talking you down and tell everything that you say, and this is serious stuff. And why did I tell this story? Because I want you to think, mother, you can't say, and whatever your daughter tell you is between you and your daughter. You all are a team. You all are connected spiritually. by blood. And nothing should be able to come between that. Nothing. She tell you something, it should be like a vault. Lock it up. Keep your mouth closed. Because nobody's going to respect you anyway. That the person that she told probably said, she called me telling me about her daughter. She's not going to respect her. She knows if you talk about your daughter to me, then you won't tell somebody else anything I tell you. Because if you tell something that your mother told you or your daughter told you, then why would an outside person think they can trust you? So now you got a hot situation going on. No trust whatsoever. So that's my take. And let me go to the switchboard before I talk too much. That's my take on it. Good morning. Let me see what we have here. I think. Good morning, Cynthia. I'm not quite sure if you all are hearing me. And the number. Hello? Hello? Okay, if anybody else out there, can you hear me? If you click one, I would appreciate that. A number that I would recommend. All right, good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I was wondering if I was talking to myself and nobody's out there.
No, we are here. We listening to you. Good morning.
Good morning.
This is Evangelist Cecilia from New York. Yeah, I'm always out here. I'm always listening and stuff. But I heard you said Cynthia, so I was waiting for Cynthia to come in. And I was just enjoying what you said, as usual. I try to call every Saturday and get my knowledge. Sometimes I talk, sometimes I just listen. But I understand exactly, you know, what you were saying, and especially about if your daughter tell you something, you should, you know, like keep that, you know, to yourself. You should have that type of relationship with her where she knows that, you know, her mom's got her back and stuff like that, and she will in turn do the same thing to her child and stuff like, you know, and it goes on and on from generation to generation. So, I understand that a lot. And I'm just listening to you, and I'm just taking it all in, and, you know, then I think about it. I write some stuff down and stuff like that. I'm trying to get my daughter to call in, too, because some Saturdays she is off and stuff like that. But my greatest challenge is to get them to church, you know. So that's what I'm trying to do now. I didn't do that with my daughter, you know, like so much, because I had her when I was very young. And that's still no excuse, because my mother, you know, my mother took me to church and showed me the way, and I should have done the same thing to my daughter. And I think, you know, our life would have been so much different if I would have just said, Lord, you know, this is our child, or this is your child that you gave me, you know, and help me with her and show me the way. But, you know, sometimes you don't, when you're young, you don't think and you don't do that. And I think if I would have done that, you know, I know our life would have been, you know, so much better. And I want that for my granddaughter Ting Ting and the new baby, you know, that is coming. They need to know the Lord. I took Ting Ting to church one Sunday. She fell asleep, but, you know, she has to do better. You know, it was something new for her, but she loves to read the Bible, so, you know, I'm grateful for that. And you know, and that's my thing, what I want to leave. Like, you know, I might not have a lot of money to leave, or homes and cars and leave, but at least I could take them and show them, or let them see, you know, that I go to church, and let them see that when I have problems, I go to the Lord, and they will do the same thing, you know, and I think that would be great. But you keep doing what you're doing and saying what you're saying, Dr. Betsy, and God gonna bless you. Love you.
Thank you. I love you, too. But I just want to add to what you just said. You said you wish you had done these things, but God said, I will renew the time. You see how he's renewing the time?
you get yourself in order and you have your faith and believe that I'm going to work this thing out with my daughter, you see how things started changing? It just started changing. And he's renewing the time. He's giving you back this opportunity that you felt that you missed with your first grandchild.
Right.
So everything, you're not going to feel that you miss anything. And when you talk about houses and cars and lands and things of that nature, you, God says, seek the kingdom. So you seek the kingdom with your grandkids, he'll add those things to them, and you will be leaving them the greatest riches, the word of God. And that will provide them anything that they need, their health, their, you know, wealth, and their prosperity, you know?
Yeah.
So
that's
the other thing I'm going to say to you just as a comment here, you know, is if you can't get them to go to church because, you know, sometimes churches don't always put the best front up, the people at the church, I would say. And people look, you know, when we have young people, they see us and they want to see God. So if we're not showing God, they're like, well, hey, why should I go to church? She ain't doing no better, you know. So take the church to your children. You
Amen.
Can do that. You take
Amen.
The church. You know what? And that's how, that's when we're going to get them. We're going to have Bible study. And I'm coming over and we're going to do Bible study in your home.
Yeah, that would be nice, yeah.
And then they will want to come. You start
yeah,
seeing
I think
them,
I'm gonna do that. I think I'm gonna do that first because Ting Ting always loved reading the Bible, asking me questions. Yeah,
right. At the Bible study at home, honey, and then she'll get interested. And when you take the church, she won't fall asleep because she'll be, you know, used to
hearing
the word. All right, that's just my advice to you. Love you.
Love you too.
All right, take care. Thank you for calling for me too.
Mm-hmm. No problem.
Bye.
Okay.
That was Evangelist Davis, and we're talking about, you know, I can really say I've seen them grow. I am just, I get excited when I hear a talk because I know where they came from, and I know basically kind of where they are right now from what she's saying, and I can just see the great future that God has for them, and even all of them ministering together and out there talking and bringing in souls for God. Whatever journey you on now, there's a reason for it. I mean, don't think that this is a mistake. Don't think that you're going through. Like God told me one time, I said, Lord, I don't want to miss you. I don't want to do something and miss you. That's why I keep asking you. And God said, there's no way you can miss me. There's no way you can miss me. Because whatever you do, I have a million things set up that will adjust it, and you're still going to be on track. So stop worrying about, did I do it right, did it wrong? He already got it. He knows the beginning to the end, and he certainly knows a little bit in between, you know, a little stuff that we're doing. It's already done. He said to repent, I will forgive you, I will forget, and you will move on. Let's see who we have here. Good morning. Good morning. Hello. Okay. I think, I don't know if they can hear me or not. I'm going to go back and see if I can pick up Cynthia here. Good morning. Oh, well, I can't get her either. All right, well, I'm going to keep talking. The show must go on. Love to make sure that they get on here, but I can only good morning. Okay. So we're talking about actually the vision. And with the vision, sorry, I couldn't get you on, Frieda and Cynthia. I tried to click you guys on, but I don't know if you can hear or not. So I'll just keep moving on, and hopefully your comments, we'll be able to pick them up later. The vision for your daughter is the key element, because think about it. If we're going to raise up a whole new generation, we have got to start today with our daughters today. Because then they become our future mothers. And in order to have a different generation, we got to do something different. We can't continually do the same thing
and look for something different. It just doesn't work that way. That's insanity. So we have to start, and mothers, you have to start with yourself and then start with your daughter. You know, even on the plane when you're flying, they said, you know, if something happened and the pressure dropped, put the mask on yourself and then help your child. Because until you put it on yourself, then you won't know how to properly put it on your child. So you put it on, you get yourself straightened out, then you put it on your child. Now, everybody's in place. So same thing with life. Perfect? No. Don't beat yourself up about what you haven't done right. Don't worry about that. There's not a person on this earth that can't go back and look at something and say, I wish I had done it differently. Because that's the way life is. Life is an experience. And if you don't have the answer, we just go with what we think is right and say, oops, trial and error. That wasn't right. Back up. Try it again. But as we get older, we learn to go to God more. It's just like Evangelist David said, she had a child young. And when you're young and you're moving around and you're enjoying life, you know, we all did that. We wasn't as spiritual as we are now. I certainly wasn't. And even though I was in church 24/7, I went because my mother took me there. I was an only child, and there was no place else for me to go but to church. And did I want to go? No. But I didn't have sisters and brothers that we could stay home. I had to go to everything that they went to because there was nobody else at home. I got plenty of church. And I thank God for it. But I remember saying to myself when I grow up, I am not going to church. But as I grew up, I realized seeds were planted in my mind that helped me to realize I could always go to God. The one thing that my mother told me out of many, but the one thing that stuck in my mind, she said, you're an only child, and I want you always live independently. Because if something happens to me and Daddy, I want you to know that you can always go to the Lord. And no matter what's coming upon you, just call on the name of Jesus, and it will leave you. And to this day, that's what I do. I mean, even, I love you, remember the times when you're laying in your bed and it seems like some spirit or something just want to crawl up on you, you know, and you feel it and you're yelling, you're screaming, and you know, but no one can hear you and you're fighting this battle, you're fighting this thing that's crawling up on you. And my mother, and it would come to my mind, mother said, call on Jesus. And I'll go, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And it would lift and leave. And I remember doing that from a little girl. And to this day, I still do that. Even if the cops are behind me and I thought, oh, Lord, did I speed or what? I start saying, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And eventually the cop will pull over to the side, go around me, and go on. So it's power in that name. And if you don't teach your kids anything else, and I taught my grandkids the same thing, I taught my daughter, no matter what's coming upon you, there's power in that name. You say it until it releases. You say it until it releases. It will take away the fear. And then it will allow you to really focus. And you keep saying it, keep saying it. Whatever is negative around you will leave. And once you do that a couple of times and you see, wow, that really works. That's what we do for our children. When you go into prayer for your child, just do a constant call upon that name and give that child name to God. And I'm telling you, things will change. Things will change in your relationship. It will change in all that you do. I'll be right back.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
That's our show, and I'll see you next week. All right, I don't know what happened, Cynthia and Frida, but it just would not connect. Have a great week. God bless you. Keep your eyes on Jesus.